Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning. We're here at the Clocker Stand at the Thoroughbred Center. Isn't it a lovely day?
Isn't it nice?
When I got here early this morning, the track was, I would have labeled it fast if it stayed that way, I guess. And then it changed to good, and then it changed to muddy, and now it's getting sloppy, and it's still raining. And we didn't have many works. People had worked during the week. As a matter of fact, I think Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday we had cumulative about 120 works, so I knew it was going to be a light day anyway. But anyway, we just had two out of the gate a few minutes ago. I know Joe Heat over there loved that. He had to slop out there. I'm glad I wasn't over there. I'm glad there weren't any ladies around.
I imagine. It's real interesting, though. The rain, it has rained since yesterday straight up that river. Louisville got it all day yesterday. Cincinnati got it all day yesterday, and we didn't get a thing at home in Paris until what time was it this morning? About 6?
It was about
5:30.
Yeah, about 5:30, something like that. I was driving in, and the first rain I hit was right before I crossed the creek up here on Paris Pike. Real hard shower.
Yeah.
And then I ran through it, and by the time I got to the Thoroughbred Center, which was just a mile down the road, it wasn't raining.
Yeah, I think that's real interesting. It just sort of sat there, but it's moving now. It's moving east, so I don't think it's going to last all day.
No, so you've listened to us now. You don't have to worry about the Weather Channel.
Right.
What are we going to do today? Well, first of all, let me talk about the winners out here. We're doing pretty good at the Thoroughbred Center. Let's see. Since last week's show, we've had 11 winners. We've had 4 winners at Mountaineer and 2 days of racing there. We've had 6 winners at Turfway Park and 4 days of racing. We had a winner at Beulah. And they were saddled by, let's see, let me get this thing, Steve Casey. Steve's having a heck of a meet up there. I think he's saddling right about 50% winners, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, anyway, nice guy, too. I'm glad to see him do it. Tanya Bullmitas, Don Combs, Brian Michael. That's since last week's show. Amalio Garcia, well, that was Paul. Of course, he's a Malio too. Everybody called him Paul. John Langemeyer. Mark Hubley saddled 2 last night at Mountaineer. Irish Dixie, she won by 17 lengths.
Holy cow.
In her second start, she's a Giants Causeway filly. I told him, I said, you went rabbit hunting with a bazooka, for God's sakes.
You'll never get any odds on her again.
Yeah. Tanya Bomita saddled another winner. That was at Mountaineer last night. We had 2 winners at Turfway, Bobby Sturgeon and Hill Parker. So last night we had 5 winners, 2 at Turfway and 3, let's see, 1? Yeah, and 3 at the Mountain.
That's great.
So, you know, all we need is an opportunity. And they're running pretty good. What are we going to do today, as which I started to say just a minute ago, Dr. Wes Sutton is supposed to come in. I don't know what time he's coming. We'll talk to him when he gets here. How's that?
That's fine.
Yeah. Of course, he is with the newly established Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine Facility over on Georgetown Pike, which is, if you're going to find it, cutting across Ironworks, when it dead ends into Georgetown Pike, turn left, and it's right there on your left. Can't miss it.
Is that west on Ironworks? See, I think it's north, but...
No, that's west.
West. I know.
No, Georgetown. Georgetown runs north. Georgetown.
I know. The grid in Lexington is not northeast, southwest. It's crooked. It's northeast, southwest, whatever. It's off. It's not 3, 6, 9, 12 on the clock. It's 1:30 and 4, you know, drives me crazy because...
Now that you've succeeded in getting everybody lost,
okay.
Dr. Doug Beyer will be here, Michael Blowen, Steve Moody, he's, of course, author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, published by Briss, and the feature at Turfway today is the John Battaglia Memorial. John Battaglia, of course, is Mike's dad.
Yeah.
Very highly thought of. You know, he managed Latonia. And then Turfway. He also managed Miles Park. And that's where Mike first called his first race. He tells a story about his dad calling him the day before the meet opened at Miles Park and said, come on down and call the races. The man who was supposed to be here didn't show up. He said, well, Dad, I don't know anything. I've never called a race before in my life. I don't know anything about it. He says, doesn't make any difference. Sound system's so bad they can't hear you anyway. So anyway.
Hey, and Mike was in the, we finally saw the Secretariat movie.
Yeah,
he was in it.
Yeah.
That was fun. And so was Penny Tweedy.
We get to watch movies when they hit the $5 bin at Walmart.
Exactly. It's $7.50 now. Ooh. Inflation. There ain't no $5 bin.
Oh, well. It was pretty good.
It was pretty good. It makes me crazy to watch stuff like that. I have to consciously ignore the fact that the nameplates were on the wrong side of the halters. I guess so the camera could see the nameplate.
Well, it was. They made a fiction. It's just a story out of it.
And the halters
were
too tight. And, you know, stuff like that. Just, you know, you look for, you just, if you know something about it, you spot it right away.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure I miss everything else, but.
Well, any relationship to facts, you know, is purely coincidental.
The fences at Claiborne were white.
Yeah. All righty. What else are we going to do? Oh, we're going to talk a little bit about Jester, who was a two-year-old of 1957. Jester, son of Tom Fool. The first.
Great name.
Wasn't that a good name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. We're going to talk about him. He was out of Golden Apple. Golden Apple by 8:30. 8:30 was a pilot horse that stood for George Widener. Of course, George Widener bred Jester. And 8:30 was a gorgeous individual. Big, lovely chestnut horse with a star and a stall stripe. And when I grew up on Dixiana, I could look out our window there and see Jester.
How fun.
You know, right across Kenny Lane.
Kenny Lane.
Yeah, on old Kenny Farm, you know. Mr. Bill Bug was a manager over there. He had a cute daughter, too.
I wondered why he was hanging out that window.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Somebody told me one time, you put that stuff in perspective when your husband brings up old girlfriends. They're all 80 now.
Yes.
Kind of takes the gloss off.
Oh, you had to bring that up. And anyway, but I used to, and Platter was right next to him, and if I'm not mistaken, Platter won a fortuity also. I believe he was by pilot, too. I'm not sure about that. Well, anyway, so we're going to talk about Jester, and you got your announcements, Jackie, and let me do a couple of commercials here, and we'll get right back to you. Is that all right?
That's fine with me.
All right, well, the Grade 2 $400,000 Fasig Tipton Fountain of Youth Stakes run last Saturday at Gulfstream was won by Soldat. Soldat's a three-year-old colt in the first crop by Warfront. Bred by Brookfield Stud, sold as a yearling at Keeneland for $180,000 and trained by Kieran McLaughlin. Soldat is scheduled next to start in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. Winner last year of the Grade 3 Anticipation Stakes on the grass at Saratoga and second in two other graded stakes on grass, Soldat answered any questions concerning his ability on dirt by winning the Fountain of Youth by two lengths at the direct expense of graded stakes winner's gourmet dinner and to honor and serve. Never worse than second in seven career starts, Soldat has earned over $544,000. Warfront is also the sire of the undefeated three-year-old colt, The Factor, winner 2 weeks ago of the Grade 2 San Vicente at Santa Anita, and of four stakes winners in his first crop. One of 201 stakes winners by his great sire, Danzig. Warfront stands at Claiborne Farm for $15,000 doing the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
He is by seeking the goal, certainly one of the most successful sons of Mr. Prospector. His dam, a graded stakes winner of over $451,000, is a daughter of Deputy Minister, twice the leading sire in North America. His female family has already given us Broadbrush, who topped the North American sire list, and champion juvenile sire Capote. And he was a runner, a grade one stakes winner of over $996,000. His name, Bob and John, and his first foals will race this year. His first crop yearlings were certainly well received last year. Colts sold for $150,000, $100,000, fillies for $90,000, $80,000, and he's standing the 2011 season for $8,000 live foal. Bob and John was a graded stakes performer at 2, 3, and 4 every year he raced. He placed in grade 1 stakes at 2, won the grade 1 Wood Memorial and the grade 3 Sham Stakes at 3, came back at 4 to take the grade 3 Lone Star Handicap. He's a grand individual, your inspection's invited, and he stands at Pin Oak Stud, home of Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Inquiries to Clifford Berry and check the website at pinoakstud.com.
How are you?
I'm doing fine, good. You got his mic up there? Michael Bowen is here, and Dr. Byers here, and I assume you're Dr. Sutter.
How quickly we forget.
Yeah. 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 What's that name again?
You have a gas pocket. Get stuck.
Yeah, a whole lot gets stuck these days. Well, you get to be my age. You see how
nice.
You won't even be standing up. who has to go first? That's
we drive together.
You drive together.
Yeah, we discuss the world issues and solve all the problems between here and Dr. Byers' place.
You going to make us wait then? Is that it?
Yeah, he followed us over here. He could find his way back, even on a rainy day.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Jackie was giving directions a minute ago, and hell, she got me lost right away.
Well, Dr. Bernard followed us over when he came, and we look in the rearview mirror. He's not there.
What is he?
So he shows up about 5-10 minutes later over here, and he said, "I thought you guys took the wrong route." She says, "I went on the interstate."
Well, you can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's more direct coming ironworks.
Yeah, but then how come we beat him here?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you got a heavy foot. I don't know. Well, what's going on? Who's first here?
Well, we're having a great week at Old Friends, Ursel.
You always have a great week at Old Friends.
Nobody died. That was good. Let's start there.
I haven't made rounds.
They're all standing.
They're all standing up. We had a nice visit yesterday. Barbara Fossum, who's one of our volunteers and works with the NTRA, brought Mike Ziegler over, who's in charge of their safety alliance, and he came over and had a tour yesterday, so that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working on a lot of things for the Ferdinand Ball we got coming up, and we're working on trying to find more space for more horses, but I don't want to give Dr. Byers a heart attack, so I'm not saying anything about that until the time comes.
I feel like the Gestapo or the police just keep him under control.
He's an enabler.
Enabler?
Yeah.
All right.
But Patton's doing great. Brereton Jones, great old horse. He's a huge hit on the tours. He shows off and jumps up and down. He's very enthusiastic, and he's got a lot of energy. So
he's just glad to get out of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And then I got today's racing form in the special section. In the racing form, they have an interview with Richard Migliori.
Yeah.
Who now works for HRTV, a great jockey and a great pal of ours. And he's visited the farm, and two of his horses that he rode, affirmed success in Hidden Lake at the farm. Can you hear me? I'm actually crinkling this paper here.
That's impressive.
Good. I just want to make sure.
I thought it was a potato chip bag.
I got you Hidden Lake.
I know you did.
Yeah.
Ursel did get us Hidden Lake. I got a call from Ursel one day, and he goes, "Have you looked at the Keeneland catalog?" I said, "No." And he goes, "Well, look at hip number. I think it was 2,700 and something. I still got the page."
Have you?
And I looked at it, and it was Hidden Lake, the Eclipse Award winner. And I'd seen her running the Gopher Wand, and I said, "Holy cow." And Ursel says, "Well, why don't you see what you can do?" And Ursel's a great trainer, in case you don't know that, because, you'll want to do anything for him. So I get on the phone, and I start making a few phone calls, and he was consigned. He was in the TaylorMade consignment, mm-hmm. and I called my friend John Hall over there, and I said, John, what do you think I should do? He says, well, why don't you call Mr. Evans, the owner, and see what he says, Shell Evans, mm-hmm. up in Connecticut. So I called up over there. It was on a Wednesday. She was in on Friday. It was a Wednesday, and I never talked to Mr. Evans, but I talked to his assistant and said, this is the plan. I said, I don't know how much you think you'll get for her. Because in the meantime, I looked up her produce record, which is really, really bad. I mean, she was bred to AP Indy, I think, the first bull sold for $475.
Not only that, I think she'd been barren for about 3 years.
Yeah, 5 years, I think.
Was it that much?
It was a long time. But anyway, so I said to his assistant, I said, well, you know, Mr. Evans might do better if he just donated her to us and took a fair price and got a tax deduction as a donation. And they took that under advisement. But this is the funny part, too. So on Thursday, I'm at sale. You know, trying to drum up some business, and I run into Jane Lyon across the street at Summerwind Farm. She's at the sale, and she made the terrible mistake of asking me what's new. She goes, Michael, what's new? I go, Jane, you never learn. So I tell her the story, and she goes, I'll tell you what we'll do. If he doesn't donate her to us, I'll buy her, and we'll just send her across the street. So I'm sitting there with a full house. I mean, this is unbelievable. I couldn't
believe it when I ran across her in a catalog.
I know. Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
So, Mr. Evans did give her to us. She never even went to Keeneland. She just came right from TaylorMade right over to us, and she's been there ever since. And so today in the racing forum, they asked Richard Migliore who the best horse he ever rode was, and he responded by saying, and I quote here, that's the hardest question anybody could ask. I was fortunate. I rode a lot of good ones. Hidden Lake was a jockey's dream. She never needed a trip. If they went fast, she'd come from last. If they went slow, she'd go to the lead. If there was a little hole, she'd go through it. If you had to come around, she wouldn't hang. She was the greatest to ride.
Yeah,
so there you go. Pretty good, huh?
Nice quote.
Thank you, Ursel.
Now you don't have to buy a racing
another. What? I already bought this one. There are other things in there.
How old is she?
Let's see. She's Eclipse are 97, 92, 2002. 18?
You want a pencil?
That's good.
Yeah, 18? Yeah, I do. Sorry. Hey, you couldn't remember Dr. Byer's name. Let's not get on the memory thing here.
Mine is awful. Mine is terrible. My memory is, you know, the gaps are getting wider and wider.
Today's Diane's birthday.
Oh, my.
So goodness. we're going to be celebrating. I let her, you know, I went out and fed this morning by myself, and I said, okay, that's it for you. You get to sleep a little late and everything else. Uh-huh. And I said, would you like some porridge? So what did you get for your birthday? I got one candle in the middle of a bowl of porridge.
You know? You're all hard, Michael.
We're going out to eat tonight.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. And I'll show a really good time.
All righty.
You're going to take somebody with you,
right? Jackie, take somebody else with you. Yeah, we'll have to invite another couple. Maybe we can get Doug and maybe you guys want to come.
Diane Smart should just go with another guy.
Well,
yeah, right.
Yeah, I know. That is it. She needs more advice. Look, just give advice.
Why don't you
just stick to the horses?
That would be her birthday present.
What about
to pick her partner?
What about this Ferdinand thing again? When does this go now?
The Ferdinand ball is going to be great. It's the Thursday before the Derby. And it's going to be at the Fraser History Museum up in Louisville. Okay. And we got some great stuff for the auction. And the two women that are running it are two sisters, Kim and Amy. And they're unbelievable. Mm. And it's going to be a great event.
Catholic sisters or?
Huh?
Catholic sisters or real sisters?
You mean Catholic in the Roman sense or Catholic in the large other sense?
In the Roman sense.
Oh, no, I don't think so. But I don't know for sure.
Well, I didn't know. I'm just trying to clear that up.
Yeah, well.
Terrible to say stuff.
Move right in here, Chris.
Jackie couldn't control herself. She was overtaken by passion.
I just got run over.
I tripped. So you can't trust anybody.
Can I tell a story on her?
Yes.
Since they quit wearing those habits.
Yeah. She had to attend a funeral up in northern Kentucky last night. So she wanted to wear her tennis shoes just to drive up there in.
Right.
So she took off her good shoes, you know, and packed them in something and hung them up in the mud room there and then forgot them. So she was all spiffied up when she got up there and wearing tennis shoes.
You know what? This is one of my favorite scenes about tennis shoes in my whole life was, do you remember who Ruth Gordon is, the actress? She was in Rosemary's Baby. She played the evil one, and she was in Harold and Maude. She's a great, great actress. And she was married to the great playwright, Garson Kanin. And they were married forever. And you just always see him walking around New York taking these long walks.
Boy, and that's about seven items of trivia that nobody gives a damn about. Go ahead.
Okay. I'll just finish up right away. And she always had the greatest looking pair of brand new tennis shoes on. And I thought, you know, this is a woman who's comfortable with herself and comfortable with her shoes, and I think it's fine to go to any event with tennis shoes on if you're comfortable once you reach a certain age.
I heard that.
Oh, you're in the doghouse.
I know. Well, it's a rainy day. We're probably not going to get too many people for tours, but if they'd like to, we have a few horses in the barn. We can stay dry, and if anybody'd like to come over and see old friends today, be my guest, and we're looking forward to having a really, really nice spring.
All righty. Well, I'm through with you then, huh? Is that it?
Yes, so. A little off the back.
Jackie, this is up next. Well, First Defense was a superior runner with a superb pedigree, a sire pedigree. Broke his maiden at 2 by over 8 lengths, 7 furlongs and 1, 21 and 2, to win the Grade 1 4 goal, 6 furlongs and 9 and 2, to take the Grade 3 Diaper Stakes, thus posting Grade 1 wins on both dirt and grass. He ran 7 furlongs and 1, 20 and 4 at Belmont, ran in 1.22 and 1 at Churchill, ran second in the Grade 1 King's Bishop to Hard Spun, and in the Grade 2, it's now Grade 1, incidentally, the Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga, for earnings of nearly $600,000. He was a versatile runner with superior speed, and he also won stakes around 2 turns, taking the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Stakes at Monmouth. As for pedigree, you won't find a better one. He's one of 88 stakes winners by a leading sire and bridal song. His dam by the Great Seattle Sioux won Grade 1 stakes and over $894,000. His second dam is Grade 1 stakes winner and broodmare of the year, Toussaint, by El Gran Señor. Toussaint produced 5 graded stakes winners, 4 of them Grade 1 stakes winners, and 2 successful sires in classic winner Empire Maker and Chester House. So watch for yearlings from the first crop by First Defense at the major sales this year. The fee, $7,500 live foal. He stands at Judmont Farm with the proven Grade 1 sire, Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com.
Quillen Leather and Tack in Paris, Kentucky, our favorite tack store, is having a terrific sale on foal halters. And the ones that are, that you save $3 on each one, they're just $16.95, and they go fast. These are the ones they call calico foal halters, and they're so cheap because what they do is, since they're so small, they can take bits of leather that are too small for regular size halters, and they put them together for foal halters and newborn halters. And what this means is they can sell them to you a lot cheaper. Because, let's face it, they're all going to be the same color after they're worn a couple days, and that would be dirt color. So anyway, stop in and see Ralph Quillen. He's on 1929 South Main Street. That's straight in Paris. It's the third light. Look over to your left and you can't miss it. Or go to quillen.com, Quillin.com in Paris, Kentucky.
All right, now I've got just the man to help me with this commercial, and that's Dr. Wes Sutter. And this is for the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. And Doc is a board-certified certified surgeon and completed your surgery residency at Ohio State. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you've been down at the Ocala Equine Hospital. How long were you down there?
5 years.
Oh, really? Yeah. You don't look that old.
Yeah.
Of course, everybody else comes in here is getting ancient, you know, but you're awful young looking.
Right. Becoming a surgeon is easy enough. They finish when just past puberty.
Oh, is it? Well, anyway, but you were with Rude and Riddle for a while too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's very good. Well, let me tell them a little about. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Now, you're all specializing in elective surgery, outpatient medicine. Arthroscopy, I pronounced that right there.
You got it.
Fractures or limb deformities, lameness, anything like that? Is that
That's
what
correct.
Correct. That would be corrective, right?
That would be corrective.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. All right. And You're going to have to tell me a little bit about this. You're specializing in the regenerative medicine treatments, PRP, and stem cell treatments and things like that. What exactly is that now?
Well, the PRP is platelet-rich plasma, and that's taken from the horse's blood that you're going to treat. And basically the process involves spinning down the blood and taking a portion of the blood that's mainly composed of platelets and some white cells and plasma. So that's where you get the name platelet-rich plasma. And then injecting it into either a tendon or ligament injury or a joint injury.
Mm-hmm. Has this been going on long? I haven't heard much about this. Did you talk about it once, Doug?
I did, but you weren't listening. You were asleep.
No, I forgot. Go ahead.
It has been going on for quite a while. We started it about 10 years ago at Ohio State. We started doing some of the first horses, tendon ligament injuries, and it's become a lot bigger therapy in human medicine, too. A lot of professional athletes are getting treated with it, and we're seeing some good results. As with a lot of these regenerative therapies, we're waiting for more good clinical research. Kind of on the anecdotal side, there's been a lot of good results with the PRP, depending on the specific type of injury.
Mm-hmm. And you specialize in that, huh?
Yes.
Well, that's pretty good. All right. Here's one of the things I like. Well, you call for an appointment, right, to go to your place. And you give them a price, you know, right up front.
Correct.
Yeah. And that's it. There's no add-ons when they get the bills. There's no surprises.
That's right.
You tell them it's going to cost X, it's going to cost X. And that's kind of innovative right there.
Right. I mean, what we're doing is bundling the prices, say for the common procedure. So for a standard arthroscopy, if we give a quote, that'll be what it is out the door. No additional charges for, some hospitals will charge extra for induction fees, bandage changes. And we're trying to, for the procedures that it's safe for them to go home, simple arthroscopies, we're trying to get them home that same day. That's what we did in Florida, and I've done the last 5 years, and I think we had very good results with that, and the horses are less stressed when they get back in their own environment, and we have less complications.
You avoid a lot of the infections or something that you pick up out. You can go into a human hospital, and end up with a strep. You go in there and have your tonsils out and end up with a strep, but you avoid those kind of diseases and things that can be picked up more readily when there's kept overnight and for several days, right?
That's right, because they're not exposed to the horses coming in and out for each day. So you minimize their exposure to other horses from other farms.
Well, that's good. Reasonable prices and great service. That's about, Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Wyoming.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Was your family in medicine out there?
Yeah, my stepfather was a veterinarian, did mostly beef cattle work and small animal, and some ranch horses. And then we had a ranch with cattle in it. At one time we had some sheep.
Sheep farmers, huh?
it used to bother me a little bit to admit that. that was my mother's way of torturing me when I was a young kid. When she would leave, I would have to pull lambs in lambing season, and she got into these breeds of sheep that had multiple babies. So when they were having birthing problems, you'd go in and there'd be eight legs. And
oh my god,
this in junior high wasn't cool.
Oh, I bet it wasn't.
So, I didn't tell my friends. But,
So your dad was a vet too. Huh?
Yeah, my stepfather was. Yes,
your stepfather. Okay.
Yep.
And you live what kind of a ranch? We had
primarily cattle on it. We had a. It was, and we did have some hay that we did grew, but it was a smaller ranch, a couple hundred acres in Wyoming, irrigated, and just cattle.
I'm not familiar with Wyoming at all.
It's everything has to be irrigated in Wyoming if you want to grow anything.
Is that right?
That's a big difference.
How close are you to Jackson Hole?
We're very close to Jackson Hole. We're just south of there. The town I grew up in was Lander, so. It's in the Wind River Mountains, which are south of the Tetons. So Jackson Hole was where we went on the weekends when we could to do a little skiing.
Where did you go to undergraduate school?
So I went to undergrad at Colorado State.
Colorado State?
Yes.
Yeah. vet school there?
And then vet school at Colorado State as well.
Okay, just stayed right there.
Yeah, just stayed there.
And then did you apply right then to Ohio State?
No, then I did my internship at Reuben Riddle.
Oh,
and,
okay.
During that time.
Is that where you met this guy?
No, I did. I don't know if I met him then. I don't think so.
I was still at the other place.
Yeah. So, yeah.
How diplomatic is that?
That's okay. Great. That's great. Then I went to Ohio State and did my surgery residency, and then I stayed there for another year before I went to Florida.
Uh-huh. The residency. How long does a residency?
Residency takes 3 years for surgery.
Gee whiz.
I think about 6 months for medicine, isn't it, Doug?
Which six?
6 months for medicine and 3 years for surgery?
No, no. It's 3 for both.
Is it?
You can do a 2 year, but by the time you pass your boards, it's 3 for both.
Yeah. That's very good. Yeah. And then I'm talking to Dr. Wes Sutter here. And then you went to Ocala for. How'd you like Ocala?
I liked the people, love the horses down there. Hated the climate. The climate was a little tough. Being a Wyoming boy, 6-7 months of summer didn't suit me well.
It gets hot down there, doesn't it?
Yeah. But
he had to buy a white belt too.
What, a white belt?
He had to wear a white belt to be part of the Florida citizenry.
Oh, I didn't realize he had to wear a white belt. I went down there a couple of sales. I wonder why nobody's speaking to me. You know, now I know. and you did surgery down there for
yes,
yeah, okay.
5 years.
What doctors were you with down there? You know,
I was with the other surgeon that I worked with was John Madison, and then Bob Bloomer was an owner in the practice. Kent Cantrell, mm-hmm. and Jeff Burke, mm-hmm. who's in Kentucky now. He was one of the partners there.
Okay, so. Yeah. And I guess you met Dr. Bill Menard when you were up here.
Yeah, I met Bill when I was an intern.
At Reuben Riddle.
At Reuben Riddle, yeah. And I spent the second part of the internship, you kind of get to pick your rotations, and I drew the short end of the stick, and I got medicine. And I got medicine for the entire month of April and 2 weeks in May, so 6 weeks straight, and happened to be the year of MRLS.
Oh, my gosh.
So Bill and I spent a lot of time together. We were exhausted over those 6 weeks, but I got to know him well, and... you know, we've got along well since, and
nice guy.
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah,
very
fun to talk to.
Yeah,
yeah. We had he was head of medicine over there. What would you call it?
Now internal medicine.
There's the two of you there. Other than you've got the anesthesiologist, so Dr. Bidwell. Is that right?
Yeah, Dr. Bidwell's there.
Yeah, correct. But she was with Reuben Riddle too.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah,
she was there, and then she left to go teach at St. Kitt, the vet school there, and so she was in the Caribbean for a year, and then she came back.
And she came back from the Caribbean.
Yeah,
boy. I got to meet her.
After this winter, she's probably...
We're going to have her on next.
Rethinking.
I got to find out why somebody would leave the Caribbean to come back to a day like this, you know. But it's been kind of a rough winter. But now what, Bill, is you all got together, and this was a joint idea? Was it Bill's idea or your idea?
Well, it was Bill's idea, and he went through several evolutions of planning... you know, different ideas in building the hospital. And, you know, we came up with we wanted to come in and do something that's a little bit different in doing the elective surgery. There's several elective surgery hospitals in the United States now. There's a couple in New Jersey, the one that I came from in Ocala. And we really think it's a good model for controlling price, controlling infection, and giving good service.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started having discussions probably a couple of years, and I was on the fence whether or not I really wanted to leave Ocala. Things were, you know, really
going
good.
Pretty good there.
Busy there, building a clientele, and I wasn't sure that I wanted to start over again.
Yeah, it's tough to leave something like that.
Yeah.
If you're doing well, you know, but everybody, you know, this, I don't know.
But, My better half, she wanted to have a career as well. She's an attorney, and she needed to go to a bigger town. And when this opportunity came up, I said, "Well, I guess I can start over again."
Is she practicing up here now?
Yeah, yes, she practices here.
Who's she with up here?
She works for a firm called Wilkes & McHugh.
Okay. And in Lexington?
In Lexington, yeah.
Oh, that's
and,
neat.
She,
got any children?
No children. We're kind of
yeah, you don't have time.
Late bloomers, yeah. We don't have much time, so.
You know, you know, Jackie's an attorney.
Oh, okay.
My wife, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, she stopped practicing a couple of years ago, and 2.5 years ago.
What kind of attorney?
She did integration and bankruptcy and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, immigration, not integration.
Whenever.
Well, that's pretty damn close, Doug. Quit snickering.
It wasn't a medical term.
Okay. He comes on and uses his big medical terms, and I'm supposed to remember them, see? Yeah.
See, I've learned if you ask, if someone asks me what kind of attorney my wife is, I'm supposed to say a good one.
A good one? Okay. Well, you better.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably, where are you living up here now?
We're just renting a house. We're living right off of Georgetown Road until we sell our house in Florida. Which hopefully will be months instead of years. The Florida real estate market is probably one of the worst in the country.
Oh,
so
yeah, right now I guess it is. Now the pharmacy, right? Wycliffe, is
yes.
that what they call it?
Yes.
Now Bill's, Dr. Bernard's wife formed that, didn't she?
Correct.
Didn't she
Correct.
Start that?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know that. He said she used to train.
Yes.
Yeah.
She used
out
to train
here.
Racehorse. Yep.
And remembered us. I can't. Maybe if I see her, I remember. But. He hadn't introduced me yet, so maybe he's he's avoiding that. I don't know. Anyway, but that's a big thing. You know, I didn't realize that was there
yeah.
until I went out to see you guys. You know,
yeah.
But that's pretty handy.
Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, okay. I guess that was the longest damn commercial I've ever made. I've never been to Wyoming. I'd love to get out there sometime. Sent a horse out there once. That what was that movie star that played Indiana Jones?
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, his wife had it.
Jackson had it. Hole. I think he lives in Jackson Hole.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we sent a little hard work gilding out there many years named Whoosh, and he ended up with her. Yeah, he was a real pretty little horse. He's a nut, but he was a real pretty little horse. All right. Well, Wes, thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Arsene. I appreciate it.
I'm going to get this guy on, and it's been fun talking to you.
I want to make him sit back down just because
he's not leaving yet, is he?
Maybe a little bit of surgical comment he wants to correct me on.
Well, let me do a set of commercials here, and then we'll get to you, and then Wes can help give you some help, Doc, in case you forget something. See where in the heck I am. I'm going to Shadwell Farm. All right. Well, the average starter by Intadob earns $52,274. And that's better than 17 times the stud fee of $3,000 live foal. And 72% of his foals do start, with well over 50% of them winning as two-year-olds. So you get an early return on your investment. Intadob has sired runners, which have won a place in stakes at Churchill Downs, at Oaklawn, Turfway, Aqueduct, Belmont, Saratoga, and in Europe. His greater good won graded stakes at Churchill, at Oaklawn, and Turfway, set a new track record at Churchill Downs and earned over $546,000. 2010 stakes winner Dad Nabbit has earned nearly $190,000. Laurentide Ice has won two stakes in New York, one at Belmont, one at Aqueduct, and has earned over $236,000. So you get a run for your money with Intadab. Intadab was a speedster, winning a pair of grade 2 sprints in New York and earning over $513,000. Came by speed naturally. He's one of 54 stakes winners by the speed sire phone trick. And he's out of a daughter of Mr. Prospector. Fee again, $3,000 a live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes. And see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Well, McCauley Brothers was the first feed mill in the nation and is still the only feed mill in Kentucky to manufacture feeds exclusively for the horse. McCauley Brothers was the first feed mill in Kentucky to provide in-house nutritional consultation to clients. And McCauley Brothers was also the first to implement comprehensive equine weighing programs and chart growth rates for clients. The goal of McCauley's is to provide the finest horse feeds in the world and to render unparalleled service. And they walk the extra mile to do so. Associates of McCauley Brothers garnered 6 Eclipse Awards in 2010, and scarcely a week passes without a client winning a stakes race. So congratulations to Rick Trantz, owner of Hopewell Farm, where Harlan's Ruby, winner of the Valdale Stakes at Turfway last Saturday, was bred and raised. To join the winning team, call Steve Baker or Mike Warren at 873-3333 or drop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. One more.
Go for it.
One more. Well, Holland's Holiday was the sire of two more stakes winners last weekend. He's now sired 7 2011 stakes winners, and three of them have won graded stakes, including Mendip, winner Thursday of the Group 3, I don't know how to pronounce this, B-U-R-J Nahar Stakes at Maidan. And you know where he was anyway. He was in Saudi Arabia. And he won a group stakes. He's won two in a row over there now, as a matter of fact. So, well, that's more stakes winners in 2 months than most horses sire in a year. Last Saturday, Harlan's Ruby, second in the Grade One Alcibiades at Keeneland last year, won the Valdale at Turfway, and Corgus won the Wayward Last Stakes at Tampa. Corgus won stakes in 2010 and has placed in seven other stakes and has earned $271,000. Harlan's Holiday, other 2011 stakes winners are Silver Reunion, winner of the Grade 3 $125,000 Endeavor Stakes at Tampa, Mendip, who I mentioned just a moment ago, Dynamic Holiday, winner this year of the Tropical Park Oaks at Calder, and also the $105,000 Florida Oaks at Tampa, Wicked Deed, winner of the Tiffany Last Stakes at the Fairgrounds, and Twin Spired, winner of the WEBN Stakes at Turfway, goes today in the John Battaglia, incidentally. Two others by Harlan's Holiday have placed in stakes this year, Leave of Absent, second in the Spectacular Bid at Gulfstream, and Bert B. Don, second in the Tampa's Bay's Pasco Stakes. So if you want a runner in your racing stable, watch for Harlan Holidays at the 2011 auction or breed a mare to him for $25,000 doing the full stands and nurses at Windstar Farm. And as with all the Windstar stallions, there's a 10% discount if the stud fee is paid by November 1 of the year bred. Inquiries with Robert Hammond. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All right.
Okay.
Dr. Byer.
All right.
Doug.
All right. Good. That's even better.
I won't forget Doug.
People call me Dr. Byers. They just call me Doug, you know. And a lot of the younger students or people fresh out of school, they just won't do it.
They won't call you Doug?
They won't call a first name.
What does Susan call you? That's what I... Well, maybe they can't repeat that on the air.
Yeah, I think... What's the censorship time?
We don't have a 7-second delay here, so maybe you better skip that one.
Well, I thought we'd talk about kind of a traumatic injury to foaling. We actually have two major ones, but one is not truly traumatic. But we're going to talk about ruptured bladders. And then the other one we could talk about, but we might not have enough time. We might talk about fractured ribs next week. But ruptured bladders and foals was something that back in the 1800s when I was going to veterinary school was basically going to happen in 90% of the colt foals. And the pressure of the birthing tears the top part of the bladder until they get a rent. And so, since and they call it practice, you learn as you go, and you can't learn enough, you'll go to your grave still stuff out there.
I don't want to hear that.
Well,
I don't want to die.
So we'll clarify. Number one, you get as many fillies that have ruptured bladders, or the big word for it, because I know Ursula likes big words, is uroperitoneum, urine in the belly.
That's what so I always
call it. Free in the belly. And so you, colt or filly, either one can have it. Don't get locked into the colt. Is it a tear at the top of the bladder? Yes, it can be, but don't forget that they get what we call septic infarcts, for those foals are a little bit sick, and they'll necrose a hole in the bladder. They can necrose a hole in the urachus, which is the attachment to the navel cord from the bladder. So urine can find its way into the belly. Usually when these foals are about 3 to 5 days old is when they start getting sick. And what makes them sick, you got to remember urine is sterile. So they really shouldn't have a bacterial peritonitis from it, but they have a chemical peritonitis from it, and their electrolytes get screwed up, and primarily potassium, and Dr. Bidwell will probably comment on that because it's an anesthetic risk when they go to fix these foals. The urine is very high in potassium, and if you can remember when you were back in high school, can you remember that?
Didn't have high school then. Log cabins.
They read.
The electrolytes pass through the membranes and find their way back into the circulation. So urine is very high in potassium, and it finds its way back into the circulation. So let's say we want a normal potassium about 4. When it gets above 6, 6.5, you start to have an effect on the heart because potassium will block the heart. If it gets up about 8, you better get the potassium down before you start to go to surgery because they can have anesthetic death on the table. So you get it down with some different drugs. One's called sodium polystyrene, which binds that and exchanges it. The sodium exchanges for the potassium. So you lower it that way. And then the other is bicarbonate to try and push that potassium into the cell rather than being in the circulation. And when they're about right, then you take them on into surgery. So they'll find either the rent, they'll either find a hole, or they'll find a hole in the urachus. Now, there's one other one that they can do, very rare, is their ureter is the connector from the kidney to the bladder, the other route. And they can have a hole in that, and that's almost like a congenital defect. Mm-hmm. And they get urine outside the belly cavity, but it seeps in over time. And we published a paper on that 30 years ago. And so, a ureteral defect. But that's not common. It happens in children where they put a tube in there called a stent and let the hole heal around it. Some of the foals will have a very small hole where you don't need to go into surgery, but you need to put a Foley catheter in them so there's no pressure against that bladder and it won't, and they may close on their own. And you use ultrasound to tell you that. Because if you see the bladder plus fluid in the belly, then the bladder being distended tells you the hole is probably pretty small. So you put a Foley catheter in, you can either send them home once you get their electrolytes right and those things, and they can heal on their own. But generally speaking, the majority of them are going to need to go to surgery. Mm-hmm. And surgery is not a complex surgery. And the other thing that people worry about is postoperatively adhesions. If you take a colicky foal and do colic surgery and resect them, their chances of adhesions are very, very high. If you do bladder surgery, it's very, very low. And one of the reasons could be for that is that urine actually has a enzyme called urokinase that breaks down fibrin. So that urine in the belly may inhibit the formation of adhesion. So that's another issue there. So, Wes, you want to kick in and correct me for all the things I said wrong?
No, I don't think you said anything wrong. You're spot on.
He's not Dr. Thorpe.
Who is?
Yeah. Paul would be sitting here and say, well, let's start with male and female.
I haven't seen Paul lately. I used to see him to jot him down every now and then.
Well, he's out and about.
Is he?
He can't be stopped.
Yeah, well, no.
He's a great, great person.
Ran into Bob Copeland the other day at the post office, yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, Pat.
Uh-huh.
I ran into Pat's his wife, as I'm sure you're well aware of, you know. So I love her. Yeah. Well, how she puts up with him, I don't know. But she's wonderful.
She probably, you know, gets medical treatment to tolerate him, you know, some of these psychiatric medications.
I was coming out of the food line over in Paris and bumped into her, and we stood there in the middle of the parking lot. Both damn near got run over. But anyway, but she's fun to talk to anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you, guys.
All right.
Wait. I've got this idea, and I ran it by Michael, and he thinks it's a good idea, and I want to tell you all, and I want you all to think about it and talk about it to people, don't you think? Maybe? Okay, here's my idea. It won't take 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
I was watching.
Which five?
I was watching television this morning. ESPN was on,
And they had a soccer game from England. It's a big deal, soccer game, Birmingham versus somebody. And it was real interesting. It caught me because it was another country. It was interesting. I don't care anything about soccer. Turned a channel, and it just so happened that the NBA had played a big game in London to a packed house. And NBA, they said, NFL and NBA want to expand to Europe. And I thought, you know, wait a minute. Racing is already in Europe. Would there be a way to tie in this kind of idea to horse racing? You remember years ago, it used to be the East Coast versus the West Coast. Will the West Coast champion win, blah, blah, blah. And it occurred to me that if we would come up with some sort of idea to regionalize racing, we could have West Coast racing and Florida racing and East Coast, up East Coast, and Chicago, and set up maybe a series of races that would be competitive, like one day in a meet or 2 days in a meet. You could have Shawnee in New York or something. You know, you see what I mean? Or the Chicago versus Kentucky day or something like that.
So you want to create a rivalry.
Yes, exactly, because that's what's so good about the NBA and the NFL. They're associated with a section, a city, an area. And we're already in Europe. You could have River Downs versus Turfway. It would be Ohio versus Kentucky Day. You know what I'm talking about? Because right now racing is kind of amorphous. It's sort of floating out there. But it seems to me if you tie it to a section, it might generate interest and rivalry and that kind of stuff. And then always you have one filly race, Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. That would be a race for the cure. But what about that idea? What do you think? You go everywhere, you travel around.
Well, I think any idea that would get us moving. I think we're very perennial. Yeah, we don't move very well.
And nobody's thinking out of the box. I'm sorry. They're not. Yeah. And you could have
it's the same thinkers.
Yeah. But you know, you could have the Curra mm-hmm. come to Kentucky one or two a weekend at Keeneland, and it would seems to me like be a good idea. Anyway, if you would mention that to your friends and think about that kind of stuff, let me know what you think. Okay, it's time for your commercials.
It's past time for my commercials.
Thank you, Herschel.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Wes, good to meet you.
Thank you.
Come back and see us anytime. You know where we are. Well, Harlan's Holiday side, 7 stakes winners already this year. 7. And 2 of them are graded stakes winners. One of the first to put him on the map was Into Mischief. Into Mischief broke his maiden as a 2-year-old at Oak Tree, going 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1. Came right back to win the Grade 1 Cash Call for Tourney, getting a mile and a 16th and won 40-4. In his first two starts, as a 3-year-old, he was second in both the Grade 2 San Vicente and then the Grade 1 Malibu. And then, after a layoff of several months, he sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20-1 to win the Damascus Stakes. Into Mischief's winning time in the Grade 1 Cash Call for Tourney was faster than the times of such past winners as Looking at Lucky, Point Given, and Real Quiet, all 3 champions. The first foals by Into Mischief for yearlings this year, and he's been popular with breeders, so he'll have the numbers in his favor when they reach the races. In order to continue this solid representation, Spendthrift Farm is offering a breed risk-free program to Into Mischief. Just call Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Seth Feld or Ned Toffee, 294-0030, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Here are 2 names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. And the Clayward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clayward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, last Saturday at Turf Paradise, the Arizona Oaks was won by Miss Buxley, a 3-0 filly in the first crop, by Unbridled Energy. An easy four lengths winner, Miss Buxley had shipped in from Santa Anita to compete in the Arizona Oaks, having finished a closing fourth there in her previous start. Broke her maiden last fall at Oaktree, then had finished second, beating a nose at Hollywood Park. Unbridled Energy is sired winners at Churchill Downs, Woodbine, Fairgrounds, Turfway, Tuitt Calder, of course, Hollywood Park, Hawthorne, major tracks. A stakes winner plus two others that have placed in stakes all from his first crop. Unbridled Energy won the Grade 2 San Fernando Breeders' Cup Stakes. He won the Grade 3 Marine Stakes, the top allowance race at Gulfstream. Broke his maiden as a two-year-old. He's by the top sire, Unbridled Song, out of a stakes-winning mare from the family of dozens of stakes winners, and he stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Fee, $6,000, due in a foal, stands and nurses. Your inspection is invited, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. Let's see where we are, Jackie.
I was thinking about doing a couple announcements.
Okay.
Or do you want to do that?
Yeah, let me start off with this, talking...
yeah, it's an announcement.
Yeah, yeah. Stakes races won last weekend by Kentucky Breeds. And this is compiled by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association in Etobah.
Yeah, and they ask for a list of that, right?
Yes.
That's pretty nice. That's very up-to-date.
They want, Dave Schweitzer over at the KTA, and he says, why don't you do that, you know? Why don't you list the winners of Kentucky Breeds and their breeders that won stakes every week? And I said, all right, we'll do that. So, of course, Soldat, who won the Grade 2 Fazy Tipton Fountain of Youth Stakes, was bred by Brookfield Farm. These are all Kentucky breeds now. Fusa Code, who won the $100,000 Borderland Derby down at Sunland Park, was bred by Northwest Farms. The Sam Houston Distaff Stakes went to A Fleet Deceit, who was bred by Taylor Brothers Properties. Corgus won the Wayward Last Stakes down at Tampa Bay, Loafenback Stables bred. Harlan's Ruby won the Valdale Stakes at Turfway, bred by Hopewell Investments. That's my friend Rick Trance. Beermeister, I like this one. Beermeister, who won the Turf Paradise Derby, was bred by Elizabeth Alexander. And, of course, you know, since 1984, 70% of all North American Breeders' Cup winners were bred in Kentucky. And Kentucky breeds have more wins and higher earnings than horses bred in any other state. And last year, Kentucky breeds won 62% of all U.S. graded stakes and 62% of all U.S. grade one stakes. And 8 of the 12 Eclipse champions, 8 out of 12, that's two-thirds, were bred right here in Kentucky. Now, if you want more information, get in touch with David Schweitzer or with Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. Number over there is 381-1414. And this is compliments of David Schweitzer and the KTA. All right, Jackie.
Okay. You know, last week, Ted Bates, our buddy that was, had this Wamazon farm up here on Paris Pike, had a going out of business sale, started March the 1st, which today's the 5th. I'm just going to mention this again because possibly he didn't sell everything. And if he's got anything left, you might want to give Ted a call, okay?
Yeah, stop by up there. Everybody knows, anybody that's been in the business over 60 days knows Ted.
Exactly. But his number is 293-6448. We tried to call him this morning to see if anything left.
Yeah. Well, he can all tell you either sold out or isn't. Just give him a call.
Yeah, 293-6448 or stop in up here at Wamazon.
Yeah.
Okay, the 28th Annual Fayette County Farm Bureau Farm Equipment Consignment Auction is 2 weeks from today. That's Saturday, March 19th at 9:30 a.m. at the Horse Park. You can't miss it. when you drive in, there's farm equipment off to the right as far as you can see. All types of farm and garden equipment. It's a $5 parking fee for that day, that's all. Anyway, they're going to accept equipment on Thursday, March the 17th. That would be St. Paddy's Day. And Friday, March the 18th, which is just another Friday. They don't want tires or fuel tanks or tobacco sticks. Dang. Or junk. Well, there goes my contribution. Anyway, if you want some more information about that, you can call the Fayette County Farm Bureau number. That's 253-0023. You get, buyback fee. They got a commission fee and so on. So, and if you bring a truck or trailer or a boat, you have to have the right title. And you have to be able to read.
Can't be hot, in other words.
No filed off numbers. If there's a smooth place where the registration number was, they're not going to take that either. So the auctioneers, Swine Broad and Denton. So anyway, that's a fun thing to go to, and it's a good way to, turn over
some. What's the date of that again, Jackie?
2 weeks from today.
Okay.
The 19th, and they start taking equipment on St. Paddy's Day.
Walter Hill and I brought that by up here just the other day.
Well, that's nice.
Good to see Walter.
Yeah, that was a lot of nice, more information. I had it down, but not,
All righty. Well, last Saturday, the Miracle Wood Stakes at Laurel was won by J.J.'s Lucky Train, a 3-year-old colt from the first crop by Silver Train. J.J.'s Train been knocking on the door in stakes. He finished second in the Whirl Away and the Count Fleet Stakes early this year, both of them in New York, of course. And he outdueled the good Tappet colt, Bandbox, to take the Miracle Woods. Silver Train is the sire of 27 winners in his first crop, and 5 have won a place in stakes, including the European stakes winner, Silver Ocean. Silver Train won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint. He won the Grade 1 Metropolitan Mile. He won the Grade 2 Jerome, the Grade 2 Tom Fool. He sprinted 6 furlongs in 107.3 at Belmont. And broke his maiden as a 2-year-old at Saratoga, placed in 3 other stakes, including the Grade 1 Cigar Mile, and he earned over $1,259,000. He stands at Vinery, Kentucky. In other stakes last weekend, the Grade 2 Hutchison down at Gulfstream went to Flashpoint, 3-year-old colt in the first crop by Pomeroy. And the next day at Sunland, the Island Fashion Stakes was won by Golden Springs, also by Pomeroy. Pomeroy is a Grade 1 stakes winner by Boundary. Of course, Boundary, the sire, also a big brown. And he stands at Vinery, Florida. Inquiries to John Gasper, Francis Rillahan, or Grant Williamson. See the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, if you're breeding to raise, here's one you may have overlooked. His name's The Daddy, and he stands at Airdrie Stud, 2500 Life Oak. In 4 starts, the Daddy broke his maiden, first time out at Hollywood Park, 6 furlongs and 109 flat for a 100 buyer. In his second start, an allowance test at Saratoga, he won by 12, 7 furlongs and 1, 22-1. Moving to Grade 1 Company, in just his third start, he ran 4th in the King's Bishop at Saratoga, Grade 1. Then in his 4th start and his first around 2 turns, he won the Grade 2 Super Derby. Now his first crop of foals, and there are just 41 of them, are showing run. Last Sunday, the old Jim made it 2 wins in a row, taking an allowance race at Oaklawn. Last summer, Manchurian High, and in just his first start,
placed in the Grade 2 Saratoga Special. Winning Desire won his first start at Del Mar, ran second in the CB Affelbog Stakes. My Dr. Waleska has won stakes and is undefeated and unextended in five starts down in Puerto Rico. Others have won at Turfway, Delaware, Hawthorne, Monmouth, Tampa, Woodbine. They're picking up checks wherever they're asked to run. Look him up. Go see him. The Daddy, $2,500 with breeding incentives available. Now, at Mr. and Mrs. Burt and C. Jones Airdrie Stud, the Airdrie Stud is your key to racing profit. All righty, well, we're starting the second half. Well, we're a little over half, aren't we? We're 5 minutes into the second hour already. And, Jackie, you want to do some more announcements? And
sure. I can talk about the horse park.
I'm going to turn that walkie-talkie over there for somebody.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're closed. Track's closed now, so.
Closed it up?
Yeah.
Here comes Ashley and out of the rain.
The track is empty. They're floating the bottom track, and, that's it.
That's it.
For today.
Yeah. Floating is right. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, today in tomorrow, Country Air Indoor Series Horse Show. It's a good day to be inside. I'm here to tell you. They got two nice places to be inside now at the horse park if you want to take your horse crazy little girl and go out there. Hunting was canceled for Woodford. No surprise there with all this rain. Let's see, March 7, 8, and 10, indoor polo at the horse park, of course. And next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, is Champagne Run Hunter Jumper Show. And with the Pony Club stuff going on and Champagne Run, oh, it's a sign of spring. It's just, I'm tickled to death. Snowbird Dressage will be March the 19th. What's that, 3 weeks? 2 weeks? That's 2 weeks, so. That's Julie Congleton, and I think that's the last one until the summer one, so that's also at the Horse Park, and it's 846-4889. Or, if you can't remember that, you can always just call the Horse Park main number, and they can give you all the info. Kentucky Horse of the Week for the Kentucky Equine Humane Center. Her name is Savannah. She's a Pony Cross, chestnut four-year-old mare. She's 14 hands. And she's as long as she is high. This is a two-seater. If you've got kids that like to ride together, she's a cutie. This is a perfect child's horse. She's got a great disposition, they say. She's been ridden at 4 years old. She's been ridden lightly, so that's an excellent thing. She's just coming into her own. She likes people. She stands well for the farrier and all that good stuff. She's been ridden several times at the horse center. She doesn't need a brand new, spanking new rider. You know, I bet she'd be a good school horse too. So, that's her name, Kentucky Equine Humane Center. You can log on kyehc.org and take a look at Savannah. Wonder where they got her. She's right happy looking. Nothing wrong with her at all. Let's see. April 16th and 17th, the Masterson Equestrian Trust is going to have a hunter jumper and cross country schooling day. There'll be, let's see, hunters on the 16th, jumpers on the 17th, and cross-country schooling on Sunday the 17th. That's that'll get a lot of people out there for that, because that's a good thing. If you do the little three-day things that they have, well, they call them combined training. If they're 3 days and they last 3 days, that's fine. If they're 2 days or 1 day, when you have dressage and then a little cross country and then jumping, that's called combined training. Let's see what else I have here. Next High Hope volunteer meeting, and they need volunteers. Tuesday, March 15th at 7 o'clock. Now, what's at Pony Club headquarters at the horse park? Here's the interesting thing. This came out in an email, and they started emailing back. People want to move this up from 7 o'clock to 5. so they can hit this on their way home from work and then go on home. Go on home, feed the kids or whatever you do, and then come back at 7 o'clock. You know, it makes it more difficult. They need somebody to head up the children's area, the hospitality tent, the merchandise, the announcer's tower, and the stick horse races. And they need people to fill in. So that is Tuesday, March 15th at Pony Club headquarters. If they change the time from 7, I will announce it next week because we have one more Saturday before that happens. I'm thinking that... Oh, Toba has new owner seminar May 5th at the Kentucky Derby Museum. Of course, that's in Louisville. And they're having one in Ocala next weekend, if anybody's going down that way. The Pedigree and Confirmation Clinic, that'll be in Lexington in October. And there is a breeding clinic here May 27th through the 29th. So if you want to register, it's toba.org. Central Kentucky Riding for Hope is looking for volunteers and horses. You got something nice, quiet, something that can be trusted. CKRH.org. Go ahead. Okay, Sean Dameron's back. Woo! He's back in the bluegrass. He lives down in Versailles now. He's got his store, shop, whatever you call it down there, tucked in between two churches. How handy is that? It's a retail, if you're interested, stop in. He's open Monday through Friday, 2 to 6. He still makes house calls for computers. He's got Dameron cams. He's doing great guns with the Dameron cams. He puts those cameras in barns or businesses or homes or wherever you want them, and those things run all day. They're video cameras, and you can pick them up on your cell phone if you want. So give him a call, 230-6449s or DameronTech.com.
Well, the grade 2 $400,000, was I on there, Rusty? Yep. I see you reached and turned a knob on me there.
He's killing a roach.
Okay. The grade 2 $400,000 Phasic Tipton Fountain of Youth Stakes run last Saturday at Gulfstream was won by Sold Out. 3-year-old Colton, the first crop by Warfront. Bred by a Brookfield stud, sold as a yearling at Keenan for $180,000, and trained by Kieran McLaughlin. Sold Out is scheduled next to start in the grade 1 Florida Derby. Winner last year of the Grade 3 Anticipation Stakes on the grass at Saratoga, and second in two other graded stakes on grass. Saw that answered any questions concerning his ability on dirt by winning the Fountain of Youth by 2 lengths at the direct expense of a graded stakes winner's gourmet dinner and to honor and serve. Never worse than second in 7 starts, Saw that has earned $544,300. Warfront is also the side of the undefeated 3-year-old colt, The Factor, winner 2 weeks ago of the Grade 2 San Vicente Stakes at Santa Anita, and of 4 stakes winners in his first crop. One of 201 stakes winners by the great sire, Danzig. Warfront stands at Claiborne Farm for $15,000, due in a foal stands and nurses. I've looked up his record race by race, and they all rhyme. All of them. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at Claiborne Farm. com.
Here are tuning to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Just a week after Champ Pegasus had won the Grade 2 San Luis Obispo Stakes at Santa Anita, trainer Steve Asmussen sent Fuser Code to Sunland Park, where he won the $100,000 Borderland Derby. Now that's a major prep for the Grade 3 $800,000 Sunland Park Derby. Both Tank Pegasus and Fusa Code are sired by Fusa Ichi Pegasus. So Fusa Ichi Pegasus is off to another good year. He had a great year in 2010, ranking number one on the general sire list, according to statistics published by the Thoroughbred Times. Listed among his nine 2010 stakes winners were Grade 1 stakes winner Champ Pegasus. He's earned over $1 million. Grade 2 stakes winner Distinctive Dixie. Grade 2 winner My Jen. And Grade 3 two-year-old stakes winner Premier Pegasus. All graded stakes winners in this country. Lifetime, Fusa Ichi Pegasus sired 58 stakes winners. The only Kentucky Derby winner sired by the great Mr. Prospect. Fusa Ichi Pegasus stands for $15,000 live foal of Kumho's Ashford Stud, home of three of the top five sires on the 2010 sire list. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Kumho. All righty. Well, I believe I have Steve Moody with me today. Steve's the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published by my good friends over at Bloodstock Research and Information Services. And the feature today is the John Battaglia Memorial. John Battaglia, of course, was Mike Battaglia's dad. And Steve, are you with me?
I'm here, Ursel.
Oh, good. Who's going to win that thing?
Well, I think it's a pretty good race. I was just talking with Mike about 30 minutes ago, and we were talking about how the race came up, I thought, pretty good this year. We've got some pretty nice horses in. You got with some pretty solid connections. You got Stuart Janney and Shug McGahee with the one horse, Admiral Perry. Windstar's got a horse in here. Mark Cassie, the two, Blue Laser. Of course, the favorite, the horse shipping in from Golden Gate, Positive Response. This horse has certainly been running well out there and comes off of a good effort in the El Camino Real. Had a good race there. And then the bottom horse, Twin Spired, Mike Maker, who's a leading trainer at Turfway, has him, and he comes off a win in the in the WEBN. A couple of these horses run beaten on Polytrack. The two, Blue Laser, two for two on Polytrack, won both those races at Woodbine. And then Twin Spired also unbeaten on Polytrack. So this has the makings of a, I think, pretty good race. I don't think there's any doubt that the six horses will probably be go off at the favorite, I would think. I'm not familiar with the connections, but their trainer's having an awfully good year, 29%, and he's brought his rider from Northern California over with him today, so they've obviously feel like this horse is well meant and been running against some pretty solid competition. Had won three in a row prior to finishing third in the El Camino Real. That was an Asmussen horse, if I remember right, that won that race. I think it was Silver Medallion that won that race.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And so I think if this horse takes to, he obviously likes the synthetic on the West Coast. If he handles the surface at Turfway, you know, I think he's going to be tough. Twin Spired, of course, we know, coming off the win in WEBN, two for two on Polytrack, and, he's got to be considered, pretty strongly, and, you know, I don't think Sugar's going to come in here just for the weather, so, I'm sure he'll have his horse, ready to run. I'm going to give the edge to the horse from Golden Gate, though. I think he's probably faced the best company so far, and pretty solid record. Connections obviously know how to win, so we're going to give him a slight edge in here. We'll go 6-9-1 in the Battaglia Memorial.
Six, that's Positive Response, Twin Spired, and the one horse is Admiral Perry.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Well, you all ready for tomorrow's game?
Well, I guess so, Ursel. It's, that seems like that season has flown by. It's hard to believe tomorrow's the last game of the regular season, but it's here. March is here, and tournament time is next week. So, pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, think they can handle Tennessee on the road?
Well, I don't know. We went down there last year and got beat with the team we had last year at Tennessee. So I don't know, Ursel. It's hard to have a lot of confidence with this team on the road.
Yeah.
But I think they're capable. I don't think Tennessee's any world beater by any stretch of the imagination. But
they've had kind of a rough year.
Yeah, they've kind of been up and down.
Well, they'll be up for Kentucky. You can bet on that.
There's no question about that. I don't think they're going to be out of the as far as getting a bye. I think they've still got to fight off. I don't think they can get it. It's going to be either us or Vandy or Georgia. So
yeah.
At least we got something to play for. Hopefully they can get the job done. That would certainly help them in the SEC tournament if they don't have to play on Thursday.
Yeah. Who's carrying that game?
Mars game? I think it's on CBS at noon.
Okay. Local Channel 27. I know it's at noon, but I didn't know who was carrying it. All right, Steve. We do appreciate your help over here, and we're going to go mortgage the farm and bet our money. Thanks, Steve.
All right, Ursel.
All right. Well, First Defense was a superior runner with a superb pedigree, sire pedigree. Broke his maiden as a two-year-old by over 8 lengths, 7 furlongs and 1, 21 and 2, to win the Grade 1 4 goal, 6 furlongs and 9 and 2, to take the Grade 3 Jiper Stakes, thus posting graded stakes wins on both dirt and grass. Ran 7 furlongs and 1, 20 and 4 at Belmont, and 1, 22 and 1 at Churchill. Ran second in the Grade 1 King's Bishop to Hard Spun. And in the Grade 2, it's now Grade 1, Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga for earnings of over $600,000. He was a versatile runner with superior speed, and he also won stakes around 2 turns, taking the Long Branch Breeders' Cup Stakes at Monmouth Park. As for pedigree, you won't find a better one. He's one of 88 stakes winners by the leading Sire and Bridle Song. He's dammed by the Great Seattle Slough, won Grade 1 stakes in over $894,000. His second dam is Grade 1 stakes winner and brood mare of the year, Troussard, by El Gran Senor. Troussard produced 5 graded stakes winners, 4 Grade 1, 2 successful sires in the classic winner, Empire Maker, and Chester House. So watch for yearlings from the first crop by First Defense at the major sales this year. The stud fee is $7,500 live foal, and he stands at Judmont Farm with a proven sire, Grade 1 sire, Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. There are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
I want to say a little bit about my good friend Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. Of course, Tom is one of Central Kentucky's leading real estate brokers. Got some great people working for him, like Mike Lear and Mike Morrison. Saw Mike's wife out here this morning. She came by with some people from North Carolina.
Oh.
Yeah, they're looking for hunter jumper prospects or whatever.
Yeah.
And Ryan Teeter was with them, and Joel Brown, Broussard Huntley, Brad Noel. Tom, of course, is as I say, is a broker. He's got a great website there. Jackie, you're always looking into that website of his. You spend a lot of time just looking at things.
Oh, I know. They're gorgeous. He's got some stuff now that just knock you over. He's got one in Woodford County called on Glenn's Creek. It's 125 acres. Gorgeous bluegrass park. Property. And it has a meticulously renovated 1820 federal residence. And you can look at this if you go to BiedermanBrokerage.com. It's got a brand new 18-stall horse barn with an apartment one. And yeah, it's stunning. It's a walk-in, boy. He's got a lot of other great stuff. He's got the best listings you've
ever
seen.
You know, the part of Dixiana, it's on Greenwich.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not the original Dixiana or anything. I tell you, it's the property that Walter Hillenmeyer used to have over there on
so
Greenwich.
So Bubba Snowden.
But Harold Snowden had it prior to them. It's over 313 acres, and it's walk on. Just got a nice house on it, and I've been on the place. It's well laid out, and it's a
beautiful
nice
place.
Great location too.
Yeah. There's not going to be anything mess up development back in there. It's pretty.
But if you're thinking about selling your farm, or you're looking for a farm, I'd recommend you call Tom Biederman. Give his phone number. It's 277-2030. Or better yet, log on to his website, which is BiedermanBrokerage.com, and it's BiedermanBrokerage.com. Great guy to do business with, and you'll be glad that you did.
Got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says...
All righty, you want to finish whatever announcement you had over there, Jackie?
Yeah, the horse park is, of course, famous for Rolex and the World Equestrian Games, and they've got the place just in super shape. They do not let you ride on that place except for specific days because of the horse shows or you have to be doing a particular event. However, they have schooling days, the first of which is Sunday, May 15th. They have one in June, two in June, actually. And June 29th is the latest one, one in August and one in September. This is your chance to get out and ride the famous courses, and just you can go all over the place. It's a wonderful day. Now, when you go and when you do it, it's $35 per session, but I think you have to get a 1-day $20 trailer pass, or if you're going to go to all of them, it's $75 season pass. Anyway, the reason I'm telling you all this is this can add up. But if you want to go out March the 12th and March 19th from 9 to 2 and help pick up trash, they're going to hand everybody big trash bags, and you just walk the course, pick up trash, then you will get to ride free.
Jumpsuit you can put on.
Yeah, they're leaving the chains at home. Anyway, it's a good way to save money. I mean, and it's a good way to help out. If you're interested, park at the Secretariat Polo Field. The signs in the park will show you where to go. You can sign in, pick up a trash bag, and they will send you off. Bring work gloves. So it's just a nice thing, and you know what? Not only that, it gets people involved because it's a great place, the horse park. And, of course, as I've told you, the National Horse Show is going to be there in November. That's a biggie. And the Saddlebred Museum is having a year-long exhibit. It's open right now, and it's all about saddlebreds and personalities from the silver screen, cinema, and history. And it's got a lot of great pictures. it just blows my mind, but my friend Flicka and National Velvet and Fury were all registered saddlebreds. And since they've started this, every time I see a movie on TV and I see a particular horse, I'll tell you the ones else that are saddlebreds. The old Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire movies, those are saddlebreds. They have a horse in there every so often. And I noticed that the other day. Oh, that's pretty interesting, but that's something good to go see. Okay, Tuesday, the Bluegrass Farm Charities is having a guest speaker at a luncheon about immigration. It's limited owners, farm, human resources management, etc. Lunch will be provided. It's 340 Legion Drive, Suite 10 at 20, but you need reservations. Call 219-0910, 219-0910. Or bluegrassfarmcharitykentucky.com, which is bgfcky.com for more information. Now, they are going to have a spring hat show Wednesday, March the 23rd. This is, if you're going to looking for a hat for somewhere fancy, Tony Leon Wilson Spring Hat Collection. This will be at the Horse Park at the farmhouse, they call it. And the chef is Adam Wade, formerly of Murray's. So Murray's is good stuff. Luncheon's from 11:30 to 1:30. The trunk show's from 9 till 4. It's $25. Proceeds to benefit the Kentucky Horse Park Foundation. Their number, if you're interested, 255-5727, or just call the Horse Park. Got to notice the colostrum is low at Haggard's Root and Riddle and Woodford Equine Hospital. They are, I think Haggard's is flat out. One of them is totally out. So got this email yesterday, the day before. So all you broodmare people, it would be good if you could milk those mares and send over some colostrum. Cantor USA is an organization that does not take racehorses themselves, but they run a great website that they will publish pictures and information about a racehorse that you want to retire. They are not for giveaway. You can charge up to $4,999 for one. I think that's probably a tax figure. So if you're interested, go to the website. If you got a racehorse that needs retiring, Cantor USA. .org. Should I keep going?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, March 26th.
Whatever you threw.
March 26th is the Heart and Stroke Ball. The reason I'm mentioning it is the ball chairman is Ted Bassett. So, and they're honoring Ralph Hacker, voice of the Wildcats, and a heart disease survivor. And a special tribute to Sam Barnes, if you are interested. 977-4605. And check that out. So, oh, my friend Peggy Manus, photography studio over in Midway, she has what she calls a hunt box. It's used in somewhat new fox hunting related clothing and articles for the home. She now has those banners that you put outside your house and stuff with a fox on them. So, Peggy's number is 846-9343 or Manus, M-A-N-E-S-S, photography.com.
About to wrap it up?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
That's, that wraps it up.
That wraps it up. Let's see, what time is it here?
25 till.
I can do a couple of things. I can read a little Joe Palmer, or I can do something on Jester, or I've got time to do both, I guess.
Sure.
This is a pretty long one, but it won't take me that long. This is just a story. This is a column that Joe Palmer wrote back in the late 1940s, and it's good.
Still timeless.
Still timeless.
Good writing lasts.
Forever. So this is written by Joe back probably around 1948-49. This is a parable which concerns the late W.T. Fatty Anderson, who, in the phrase which O. Henry lifted from a more venerable author, amused himself by going to and fro upon the earth and walking up and down on it. Now, there is a trainer named W.T. Anderson now, but this is not the same man. He did not have to keep it straight in his mind if he were a gourmet or a gourmand, because he was both. There is a tale they tell of an eating contest he had against a man who claimed to be a champion of Cuba. The tale varies as to how many miles of water were scraped clean of shellfish and how much poultry laid down its life for this experiment. But most versions came together with the introduction of two huge apple pies. The Cuban champion went on the ropes after two large slices and was assisted out. Anderson ate his own placidly, then reached across the table for the section left by his antagonist. He hesitated for a moment and then called the waiter. He wanted a piece of cheese to put on it. He liked to race horses, and he did, but he was modest about it. He wanted publicity so little that it was the devil and all to get him to race them in his own name, as the rules of racing require. The idea was not any fraud, for he was merely trying to get a horse and a bookmaker ready at the same time, and his name on the program produced a certain awareness in the ring. He got ruled off for this several times, but he was never convinced. You couldn't make him stop it, a crony of Anderson's told me. He did it once at the fairgrounds and didn't tell me, even me. He thought for a minute and then added, and I owned half the horse. You may gather that Anderson was interested in matters of chance. He took Claris down for the Coffith handicap at Tijuana and bet virtually all he had on him, which was a good deal at the time, prudently saving out $3,000 to get home on with his stable if he lost. But on the morning of the race, Gene Normeal, whom he didn't like, ran into him after breakfast. 5-3 a dozen, said Normeal. Out came the shipping money, and down came Claris by 7. Once it was a little different. You would not have heard of Raceland. This was a track built in the early 20s at Ashland, Kentucky, for the purpose of discouraging inflation and the payment of grocery bills by the coal miners and lumberjacks of the Kentucky and West Virginia mountains. It didn't work out. The mountaineers proved to be sensible people who would spend money on copper worms for their stills or for cartridges or for labor-saving devices such as wives and mules. It's a wonderful country for men and dogs, a mountain woman once said to a man who admired the view from her kitchen porch, but it's hell on women and mules. They did not see any sense in betting on horses, and Raceland fell ungracefully on its face after 2 years. But during the 2 years, Anderson and a friend went up. They had a horse running that was pretty sure to win, and they left $3,000 with the commissioner in Cincinnati to spread around. But look, said the companion, this is a new track, and it's trying to make friends. For heaven's sakes, don't do anything here. Anderson assented and kept his word, more or less. All he did was pad the mutuals. At minor tracks where the handle isn't anything much of a relatively small amount of money can bet around the real favorite will chase the price from a legitimate 7-5 up to around 6-1. So Anderson threw several $1,000 away betting on horses that would lose so that he would get 6-1 on his $3,000 in Cincinnati. It worked beautifully, and the horse trotted home. In the midst of a victory celebration, however, there came a call from Cincinnati. Skipped the wrong page here. Wait a minute. Well, it's stuck together. There came a call from Cincinnati. The new track, it appeared, was not included in the wire service, and bookmakers wouldn't accept bets on horses there. So, not only was the $18,000 profit a mirage, but Anderson had thrown away his own money making a false price. He took it cheerfully. It was an honest mistake. But the story I was getting to started with a poker game in Havana, in which our hero, because of the mistaken assumption that three queens was the high hand, came out into the cold gray light of morning with several hundred miles of water and a $5 bill between him and his homeland. On the way to his hotel, he met a man carrying a large fish. What kind of fish is that? He asked. Red snapper, said the fisherman. $5, it's not, said Anderson. It developed that the fish was on the way to be sold, and it was agreed that the decision of the fishmonger would be final. What kind of fish is this? Said the fisherman, tossing it down on a block. No jokes in the morning, said the buyer. You've been fishing these waters for years, and you ought to know. Get on with you. Never mind that, said the fisherman. To decide a bet, what kind of fish is it? It's a red snapper, said the merchant. You know curse well it is. Anderson handed over the $5 bill. You win, he said, but it was still a good bet. I had every other kind of fish in the ocean running for me. So there is a moral. Anybody can make a losing bet. Just be sure you get the right odds. Evans, my friend, and I admire his writing. He's fun to read.
I know, and it just doesn't get old.
No, it doesn't. Well, the average starter man to dive earns $52,274, and that's better than 17 times the stud fee of $3,000 live fold. And 72% of his folds do start, with well over 50% of them winning as two-year-olds. You can get an early return on your investment. In a dive, beside runners which have won a place in stakes at Churchill Downs, at Oaklawn, Turfway, Aqueduct, Belmont Park, Saratoga, and in Europe. His greater good won graded stakes at Churchill, Oaklawn, and Turfway, set a new track record at Churchill Downs, and earned over $546,000. 2010 stakes winner Dad Nabbit has earned nearly $190,000. Lauren Tadd Ice won two stakes in New York, one at Belmont, one at Aqueduct, for earnings over $236,000. So you get a run for your money with Intadab. Intadab was a speedster, winning a pair of grade two sprints in New York and earning over $513,000. Came by speed naturally. He's won a 54 stakes winner by the speed sire Phone Trick. He's out of a daughter, Mr. Prospector. At stud fee again, $3,000 live foal at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Ken Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. You know, where we live, we're lucky to have good neighbors, Dan. And, well, you're always lucky, no matter where you live, to have good neighbors. We got a particularly good neighbor in Jim Fitzgerald, who... He, of course, his farm is on 460 and ours is on Clay
Bourbon
Kaiser,
County.
But
County.
But they're in Bourbon County. And not only that, we can see the back of his farm from the back of our back, what, back step, I guess.
Yeah,
we
can look right out there and see it. There
yeah.
It is.
His name of his farm is Knott Griffin. And, of course, he's got another farm named Harper's Island, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, I can't see that one from the back of my house.
No, I can't. So it's there. Right. Anyway, he's got great boarding facilities right there, and he can do it all, layups, sales prep, you name it. Great horseman, lifetime experience in the horse business. He's got superior help there. He wouldn't tolerate anything but. And I'll tell you what, he's somebody you can trust if you're thinking about getting into the horse business and you're not... Or if you're in it and you're not doing too well, this is somebody, Jim Fitzgerald, who's going to just give you some sound, good common sense advice. And I'm going to give you his phone number. It's 987-8032. And his website is knottgriffin.com. That's KNOCKINGRIFFIN.
And he's a master of the hounds.
Master of the hounds.
Master of the hounds.
For the Woodford Hounds.
Yes. Yeah. Quite good horseman.
Well, of course he's a good horseman. That's how he made his money all his life. He's never done anything
exactly.
else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, spring at last has a lot going for him. First of all, he's been very well received at stud. Bred over 200 mares in his first two crops, the first two seasons. So he'll have the numbers in his favor when his first foals race in 2012. Then it's a fact that he was a runner, and he has a sire pedigree. He won the grade one $500,000 Dyna handicap at Gulfstream. Went abroad and won the grade two $1 million Godolphin Mile. Ran a mile and won 33-2 at Aqueduct. Covered the first mile of the grade one Don and won 34 and change. That was a 9-furlong event. Was never beaten going a mile. Went on dirt, went on grass. Met and defeated the likes of Midnight Lute and DeHare and Einstein and Brother Derek. Many other graded stakes winners. And he was also second in the grade one Malibu and the grade two Strube. Spring at Last is one of 82 stakes winners by Silver Deputy. In fact, with earnings of $1,139,150, he is his sire's leading money-winning stud. Spring at Last is also one of three graded stakes winners, two grade one winners out of a daughter of the top sire Dynaformer from a family loaded with black type. Spring at Last has it all. A grade one race record, a superior pedigree, his first foals look great, and there are a lot of them. And a modest stud fee, $6,000 doing a full stands and nurses. Now, if you paid that fee by November 1 of the year bred, you get a 10% discount. And one other thing. Stands at Windstar Farm, a farm with a well-deserved reputation for standing top sires. Inquiries to Robert Hammond. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. That's the Arthur Hancock singing there. Well, something he wrote. Anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit about a horse named Jester. He was a two-year-old in 1957. By the time Fool had a golden apple by 8:30. Bred and owned by George D. Widener, who had Erdenheim Farm at that time, which was up near Philadelphia. And he was trained by Bert Mulholland. Well, back in 1919, Mr. Widener paid $8,700 for a yearling filly in Elizabeth Dangerfield's Saratoga consignment. She was by Ultimus out of Broomflower, by Broomstick, and he named her Last Straw. Trained by Jack Joyner, Last Straw won her first start and went on to win 11 races, including a couple of stakes. And Last Straw produced three stakes winners for Widener, Finite, Chickstraw, and Sauvette. And she ancestors of several others. She was also the dam of Thornapple, who was by Jamestown. Now, Jamestown, it was also raced for Mr. Widener. He'd beaten Equipoise back in 1930 in both the Futurity and the Saratoga Special. And Thornapple placed third in the 1939 Matron and was the dam of stakes winner Scrutinize. She was also the dam of the good winner Golden Apple, who was by 8:30, and Golden Apple was the dam of Jester. And Jester was from the first crop by Tom Fool. You know, he just had 9 foals in that first crop. He was a shy breeder. But he was a great sire in regard to not many foals, but they could run. Jester didn't look anything like Tom Fool. Tom Fool looked a whole lot like his sire Meenow, who had raced for Mr. Hal Price Heedley, and was by Fairmont II, who Mr. Heedley had imported from England, and stood them both at his Beaumont farm out there. But Tom Fool was a very robust kind of horse, and Jester was not. He was light-boned and a little on a frail-looking side. And when he was just 3 weeks old, Dr. E.W. Thomas, who's now passed away, and Dr. O.B. Murphy, Doc Thomas was a vet, but Dr. Murphy was a Lexington orthopedic surgeon, and they operated on Jester's knee and removed an inch-long fibrous tumor.
How?
They put it in a cast for 3 weeks, and thereafter, knee never bothered him.
Wow.
How about that? Anyway, as a yearling, Jester was broken at Erdenheim Farm, which, as I said, was up near Philadelphia. Of course, Mr. White also owned old Kenny Farm over on, what's the name of the road down through there? I'm having a blank.
Kenny moment. Lane.
Kenny Lane, for God's sakes. Yeah, anyway. Well, the Erdenheim Farm was near up in Philadelphia, and where Mr. Aristides Welch had stood Leamington, and that's where Pierre Lorillard, Parole, and Iroquois were foaled, right up there.
Aristides Welch?
Yeah.
Was he named after the horse or the Greek?
I imagine after the Greek. Oh, okay. I wondered if... now, that's back when Leamington was standing there, so that, boy, you know, it might have been named after him, you know.
I think that's interesting, but
well, whatever. The horse could run anyway. He was the first starter from Tom Fool's first crop, finished fifth, and then field of 19 on May the 30th, which is a national holiday. It happens to be my birthday. I was going down a Widener chute, straight course. And then second time out, he beat a field of 10 at Belmont, and he ran green that day, so they put blinkers on him. On the 26th of June, he won the colt division of the National Stallion Stakes, beating Jimmer. R. Carroll rode him. Next start, he got beat a neck by a little fella, who was by Nergal, in the Tremont Stakes. Rose Trellis was third. I can't remember what he was by. Jules Reward by Jet Jewel ran fourth. On the 12th of August, he ran second to Gray Monarch, who was owned by Mr. E.P. Taylor, in the Saratoga Special. Mr. Taylor had won the race, the Saratoga Special, the year before with Neartic, and the race was a winner-take-all both times. So he had to be pretty gutty to go in there, pretty high on your horse, one or the other. Couldn't run for second money. 2 days before the hopeful, he was kicked by the lead pony, and they had to take him out of the hopeful. Couldn't run him because he had some swelling in an ankle. But he was ready to go in the Cowden on the 16th of September, and he ran third, got beat ahead in a length and a quarter by Jules Reward and Nadir. And incidentally, that's the way they were ranked 1, 2, 3 on the experimental handicap, Jules Reward, Nadir, and then Jester. And the next race farm was the Futurity, and it was kind of a legacy for Jester, because Tom Fool, his sire, had won it in 1951. His grandsire, Meenow, had won it in 1937. His maternal grandsire, 830, had finished second in 1938, and his granddam sire, Jamestown, had won the Futurity in 1932. Jester won by length and had to survive a foul claim, but he got the money. That was his last start of the year. He wrapped his right front ankle in a one-mile workout for the Champagne. Finished the season, seven starts, 3 wins, 2 seconds, and a third, and 124 pounds on the experimental. He didn't run, come back after. He didn't, wasn't much after. He did place in one stake, I think. He placed in the Jerome as a three-year-old. And that was it for his career. Well, Harlan's Holiday has sired 7 stakes winners already this year. 7. And 2 of them are graded stakes. Was one of the first to put him on the map was Into Mischief. Now, Into Mischief broke his maiden as a 2-year-old at Oak Tree, going 6.5 furlongs and 114-1. Came right back to win the Grade 1 Cash Call for Tourity, getting the mile in the 16th and 140-4. In his first 2 starts at 3, he was 2nd in both the Grade 2 San Vicente and then the Grade 1 Malibu. And then after a layoff of several months, he sprinted 7 furlongs and 120-1 and won the Damascus Stakes at Oak Tree. Into Mischief's winning time in the Grade 1 Cash Call for Tourity was faster than the times of such past winners as Lookin' and Lucky, Point Given, Real Quiet, all 3 champions, of course. Now, the first 4 is being a mischief for yearlings this year, and he's been popular with breeders, so he'll have the numbers in his favor when they reach the races. In order to continue this solid representation, Spendthrift Farm is offering a breed risk-free program into Into Mischief. Now, just call Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Seth Fell or Ned Toffee over there. Phone number is 294-0030, or if you can't remember the phone number, well, you can get it off the website, SpendthriftFarm.com. Let me finish one thing, and then I'm going to turn it over to you.
Sure.
Yeah. Jester went to stud, you know, and sired. He went to stud. Mr. Widener didn't stand him over at Old Kenny. He sent him down to Mr. E.K. Thomas. Now, I don't know if Mr. Thomas bought him or whatever, but Mr. Thomas's farm was down in Bourbon County, Timberlone Farm. And he did very well. He sired Tri-Jet. Sired 18 stakes when his Tri-Jet was a good horse. Won the Whitney, and he won the Hawthorne Gold Cup, the San Pasquale. And he sired Copeland.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Copeland, named after Bob.
Yes.
The, of course, world-renowned veterinarian. And, he, of course, Copeland won the Champagne, the Hopeful, the Futurity, and the Sanford Stakes, won the Fountain of Youth of 3, and he was a good sire. Sired 45 stakes winners, if I'm not, mistaken. He was a leading sire of 2-year-olds 1 year, and Copeland was the sire of Pat Copeland. And Pat is, of course, Bob's wife.
Right.
And, lovely, lovely lady. I'm crazy about her. See, Jester also sired Steeplejill, the one the Delaware, the Ladies, the Vineland, the Dying, and the Friends. Reflected Glory. He won the Flamingo and the Everglades and the Bahama Stakes, and was the sire of Snow Chief, who won both the Preakness, the Santa Anita Derby, and the Florida Derby, among other stakes, won six other stakes. He was the sire of A Kiss for Luck, who won the Vanity, and Summer Siren, Hot and Nasty, who, believe it or not, came just shortly after Nasty and Bull. Just a reflection, those two horses named that, you know.
Well, there was a Bold and Nasty, too.
Yeah. All right, let me, Jackie, you want to go? You want to?
I want to talk about this again. Michael Blowen and I were talking before, and he has talked to five or six people, and they are all trying to come up with five ideas to improve racing, because something has got to be done. The NBA and the NFL, et cetera, are going great guns, and we are not going anywhere. We're backing up. And like I said earlier, I was watching ESPN. They had an international soccer game from England, and it caught my eye just because it was a big regional thing.
Rivalry.
And then they went to the NBA, a story. The NBA played a game in London to a packed crowd, and they said the NBA and the NFL wants to expand into Europe. And then it occurred to me that racing is already there. We're already in Europe. We have England, Ireland, France, Italy, Germany has racing. And I started thinking about it. And years ago, in this country, it was regional racing. Got a lot of interest with the East Horse,
Nashua.
Exactly. And it occurred to me that it might be a good idea. Now, Breeders' Cup is good. It's good for purses, though. You know, and purses bring in fans. That's fine. But it seems to me, if we were to divide the United States into regions, maybe Florida, Southeast region, Chicago for sure, New York for sure, California for sure, it would be a good fan-based idea. You root for where you're from. It could be a state thing. Kentucky could have a day of a Turfway versus a River Downs. That's any kind of an idea like that that would be good. You could do the Aqueduct versus, I don't know, someplace in Europe, you know, and bring them over for a weekend of that. Anyway, and then Michael talked about the ideas that they're looking for are to fans. And it occurs to me that maybe the fans might want to add some ideas. And I thought of this. If you're a fan and you've got an idea, email it to me and sign your name, and I'll put them on the air. If we think it's good, we'll make a list. But my email address is JackiePostTime@AOL. That's not hard to remember. JackiePostTime@AOL.com. And have some fan input. But anyway, just have to keep on thinking.
You know, California and Florida do that now.
They do?
Yeah, they have races where nothing, Florida players will ship out and compete against California horses. And then
maybe we should do that more and make a bigger sectional deal out of it. And maybe they could get points. And maybe they could have a showdown after so often and sort of a playoffy kind of an idea. I mean, the Breeders' Cup's fine for purses and that, but there's not a, I don't see a fan base. But I was just...
All right, but we're based out here at the Thoroughbred Center. We're doing this from the clocker stand, and horses from out here are doing very well. Since last week's show, we had 11 winners, four at Mountaineer, six at Turfway, and one at Beulah Park. And let's see who saddled those things. Steve Casey, Tanya Bolmitas, Don Combs, Brian Michael, Paul Garcia, John Langemeyer, Mark Hubley had two last night, Tanya Bolmitas, Bobby Sturgeon, and Hill Parker. I want to thank Neil down at the, good job, Neil, down at the studio. I want to thank Ressi here in the clocker stand with us. And I want to thank you, if you listened. If you didn't, well, the heck with you. And we'll talk to you next week.